Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us, not only Racing Across America this morning, but racing across the globe. We will have some Saudi Cup conversation. I will alert you that the fifth race on the Saudi Cup card is coming up, but it's a non-betting race in America for whatever reason. I think it's Arabian horses, and again, for whatever reason, no betting is available on this upcoming fifth, but we'll kick back in at 11:10 post time for the Saudi Derby. And again, I'll remind you, the Saudi Derby has Cowan from Steve Asmussen. Umberto Rispoli was scheduled to be on board. If you didn't hear, he and John Velasquez had some travel problems and didn't make it over there. Umberto Rispoli, I believe, was he was on the – I'm just looking at his quotes from the article. I was ready to fly. My luggage was already on the plane. I was in my seat. My seatbelt was fastened, and before we took off, the stewards came and took me off the plane, saying there was a change in the COVID rules. So Umberto Rispoli doesn't get to go. John Velasquez also, he tweeted out, I tested negative four times this week to make it to the Saudi Cup, but never made it anywhere because my flights were canceled or wrong alternatives. So Velasquez also not riding. Now, subsequently, Mike Smith replaced John Velasquez in the International Jockeys Challenge yesterday. And I think Smith had a victory yesterday, but the one of the Irish jockeys won the challenge. Joel Rosario is over there. He's subbing for some of the rides. Joel Rosario took over some of the rides. William Buick is going to be on Tacitus for Bill Mott. Barcelona is going to be on Max Player. So there are some substitutions where Umberto Rispoli and John Velasquez were supposed to be riding over at the Saudi Cup. But again, they wound up having travel difficulties. Gary Stevens, I read, a similar situation. He was going to go over as part of the coverage team, and he ran into those COVID late rule changes. All of that said, local product, and if you've been watching the races so far this morning, Travis Stone, Scroon Lake native, now, of course, the announcer at Churchill Downs, but he's overcalling the races. So he was able to make it over there and listen to the first few races. And Travis doing a really good job, as always, over there in Saudi Arabia. And he'll be calling the remainder of the card as well. But as I say, the next race that we can look at and play will be coming up at 11:10, the sixth race, the Saudi Derby. Race number eight is the Saudi Cup, and that will go off at about 12:40, featuring Nixco and Charlatan. Charlatan, of course, trained by Bob Baffert, 4-for-4 in the career so far. Now moves into older company, as his last win was still against limited three-year-olds in the Malibu on December 26th. So it's going to be interesting to see what he can do. All kinds of talent. We're looking forward to Charlatan versus Nixco. A little bit later, we'll hear from Bob Baffert. But as promised earlier, our friend Gary Contessa set up some interviews yesterday with Baffert and Nixco trainer Brad Cox. Nixco coming in now off of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile victory, which was very impressive, and then the Pegasus World Cup victory, which was also impressive. So Brad has Nixco, ridden by Joel Rosario, coming up in a couple hours out in Saudi Arabia. So up next, Gary Contessa and a little conversation about Nixco with Brad Cox.
Contessa with Capital OTB, and I was lucky enough to get a hold of Brad Cox before tomorrow's big race in Saudi Arabia. Brad, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Gary, and thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. My pleasure. It seems like you and I are talking every time this horse runs, and so far, so good. We're undefeated.
Yeah, hopefully we can keep it that way.
Yeah. What's your feelings about tomorrow? I mean, I'm looking at the race. It looks like every other race for Nixco, you know, with his ample speed, but he always seems to get there.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, just look at the race on paper, you know, I think we're going to get a great setup. Obviously, Joel flew over for the race, and, you know, we're excited. You know, it's a little bit of a change with the one-turn race as opposed to the two-turn races he's been running, but the horse has really shipped over and settled in well. He's eager. He's aggressive training, so we're just kind of seeing more of the same we've seen over him over the last year. Here, I guess you would say. So I'm positive that he's going to show up and run a big race.
Beautiful. I was reading Dustin's interview this morning, and, you know, he was saying that the horse doesn't have to go to the lead. What is your feeling?
I think he'll be right there. You know, I think, you know, he's an eager horse. He you know, he wants to go. Joel obviously is good about letting him go fast, but having a gear left. And I think that's, you know, obviously very important. He's got great hands, and he's able to, you know, he has a good feel for the horse. And, you know, hopefully we can see more of the same on Saturday.
He really does. Now, for the people who don't quite understand this, tell us about shipping this horse from the United States over to Saudi. Like, what's involved in that, Brad?
Well, it's kind of a one-shot deal. You kind of have to be committed to going. In this case, it was, I believe, 12 days, 13 days before the race. It involved a ship from New Orleans, which is his home base in the winter, to Gulfstream, staying one night at Gulfstream, being inspected by the USDA, and then catching a flight directly from Miami to Riyadh. So, I mean, it's very well organized, but there's only the one option. Obviously, all the U.S. contenders were on the same flight from Miami to Riyadh. And, you know, so far so good with how he's handled everything. So I'm excited about it. And you know, once again, it's kind of a, you know, just a one-shot deal. You either make the commitment to go then, or you're stuck, or you can't go.
Now, when you come back into the United States, are you stuck in quarantine, or you basically just have a day or two and then you're out?
I think out of Riyadh, out of Saudi, he would have to have a 7-day quarantine. I think out of Dubai, maybe it's a 3-day quarantine. And we're actually going to have to make a decision if we want to go to Dubai with, like, 24 hours after the Saudi Cup. So, you know, obviously if he performs well, it's something we may take a look at. If not, you know, we'll probably come home, but, you know, we'll have to figure that out Saturday evening or Sunday morning.
Awesome. Do you have any other horses there, or is Nick Scho the only one that went?
No, he's the only one. He's the only one that was invited, and really the only thing we were targeting the race with. So that's how it worked out.
Man, that is some purse tomorrow.
that is
a dream purse for any trainer. And man, we're wishing you the best of luck. I mean, it's the best of the international mile and an eighth. So your back's up against the wall, but you got a hell of a horse. So that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, he's, you know, he, like I said, I think he's, you know, he proved he could get the mile and an eighth last time there at Gulfstream. And, you know, hopefully he can bounce back in 4 weeks and put in the same kind of effort. It's going to take that kind of effort in order to win. And we feel like he's capable of rebounding quick and firing another bullet at him.
You know, and watching him, as long as I've watched him, I kind of get the feeling, and I don't want to jinx you, but I kind of get the feeling that this horse is going to like a one-turn mile and an eighth.
I think so. I mean, you know, it seems like the surface is, you know, really good over there. He had a fantastic work on Monday. And you know, he's just a horse. So when he's got his game face on, he's a determined horse. So, you know, we obviously got to get a good setup. We can't go too fast up the backside. And if he gets a nice, you know, if he can get a nice controlled pace and have a gear or two left down the lane, you know, he's going to be tough. So
yeah,
we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think the horse that's going to make or break this race for you is Baffert's horse. And luckily, he's outside of you. So you get to jump to the rail. And, man, best of luck to you. We're really going to be rooting for you.
Well, I appreciate it, Gary. And thanks a lot. Hopefully we'll talk again soon.
All righty. Good. Best of luck from Capital OTB and Brad Cox. Thank you.
And again, Umberto Spoli and John Velasquez had a little trouble getting over there, so they're not riding. But Joel Rosario did make it to Saudi Arabia, so he's scheduled to be on board Nick Scho. And, of course, he was on board Two starts back for the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, the very impressive Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and the equally impressive Pegasus last time. When I talked to Brad last week, you know, I asked him about the quick turnaround, or relatively quick turnaround, from the Pegasus, and he said, you know, we watched the horse work, and the horse was kind of telling us he's ready. So it's going to be very interesting this afternoon as Knicks go facing off with Charlatan. And, you know, it's a big full field. We're all focused on those two, but we'll see how it all plays out. Max Player's in there. Tacitus is in there. Sleepy Eyes Todd. Mishref, European runner, could be a little bit of a player, is getting some attention as well. But we'll take a break, and when we come back, again, the two horses we're focusing on, Knicks-Go and Charlatan. So we've heard from Knicks-Go trainer. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a couple, and we'll hear from Bob Baffert, trainer of Charlatan, his thoughts on this afternoon's Saudi Cup. Stay tuned. Racing Across America will continue in a moment.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back. As promised before the break, we'll get a little Gary Contessa conversation with Bob Baffert about Charlatan. Four starts in the career so far, and it just the horse has been eye-poppingly good. The Malibu win to end the three-year-old season hadn't been seen since the Arkansas Derby, so it was a comeback effort. Mike Smith scheduled to ride. He also made it over there. As I said, he rode yesterday and had a winner on the card. But with the four starts so far and all having been as impressive as they were, Charlatan is going to be very intriguing this afternoon as he steps into the four-year-old season in a big way. $20 million purse in the Saudi Cup coming up 12:40 this afternoon. So again, coming up now, Gary Contessa and Bob Baffert.
And we're all, you know, a quiet nervousness, you know, and
yeah.
So, but it's exciting, you know, when you have a favorite in a $20 million race. Never, when I got in this business or any horse, quarter horse, or I never thought I'd be running for $20 million.
I know, it's incredible. What a purse. That's like a trainer's dream.
It is, you know, so I just hope it goes well.
Yeah, tell us about your horse. He should. How long is he over there?
They shipped over there. He had a fly. He's been there for about almost 2 weeks. He flew from here to Florida, and they picked up the Florida horses, and then they flew to. It took him like 24 hours from stall to stall.
How did he handle it well? How do you find the horses handle that shipping? When they're in the air, they're kind of relaxed, correct?
Well, there are, you know, certain horses, you know, he's got a great mind. He handles everything well. And a veterinarian from California, they always get a veterinarian to go with the horses on the flight. And so to watch them. So they're, you know, they're well, you know, the groom can't go there. We just send them, and the groom has, everybody has to meet him there.
Wow. So it's quite a lot of preparation for this race, but $20 million, it's more than worth it. But once you get there, the facilities are pretty good. So it's nice.
Beautiful. Well, this horse has been, lightly raced, but an amazing, amazing horse. I mean, just getting it done, every time. How does he compare for you to the other horses of this caliber that you've trained?
Well, he's a horse that if you watch him in the mornings, he doesn't really, it doesn't wow you in the mornings watching him train and work, but in the afternoon, when he gets in the gate, he runs, he's a different horse, but he's just so talented. He's very fast, and he's got brilliant speed, and he can carry it, and that's what you're looking for. And so, he hasn't had that many outs. He had those setbacks last year, but now, he came back. I loved his race in the Malibu, and he's the kind of horse that can, he sort of stalked, Nashville. Nashville was so fast. I was worried about that race. I was worried they were going to get in a heavy duty speed deal and empty out, but Mike was able to, contain him for the first, half mile. And then when he pounced on him, he just, caught another gear and took off. So
he did.
I just love those kind of horses. They just, they just take over the race. And that's what he's done in all his races. He just takes over and that's it. But he's never run against, I think Nashville is a top horse. But, you got two horses that are coming off these win streaks, so it's going to be an exciting race.
Yeah, it is. Do you like the fact that you drew outside of Nixco? Does that help you?
Well, I think it gives Mike Smith a little bit of you want to be in the middle there. I don't want to be inside there where you really have to. From there he can get away. If he gets away well, he can sort of he's speed, he's fast. I think he's quicker than Nixco going one turn. I think Mike, I think it'd be a cat and mouse, you don't know what's going to, until they break and how they're running, you never know. Like last year, Mucho Gusto, he got out there and he looked like turning for home. He looked like, it was all over. Then they came and got him. That stretch, it's a really long stretch. I mean, it's not over till it's over.
Right. Is it a deeper track, Bob, out there? Is it a sandier or a deeper track, like what you would expect from the Middle East, or not necessarily?
It's a deeper track. It's really soft. It's kind, but it's deep, and they have a, it's sand. It's a mixture of sand. It has little wood chips in it.
Wow.
So it gives it bounce. It's really kind on the horses. And but near the end of the night, they don't water it later in the night, so it gets slower as it goes on. So. But it's one of those things where, you just don't know. Like McKenzie, I thought he was going to run well. He never got away, sort of slow, never picked up his feet, So you just don't – it's a challenge. You just don't know what they're going to do when they get there. But so far, the reports I'm getting, I'm not there. Jimmy and the rider that went with him, they said he's doing well, so.
Good. And looking at this way this horse runs – I guess you're kind of pleased with a one turn mile and an eighth as opposed to two turns. I mean, is there a preference to you that in that respect?
I think for Charleston, I think it's probably better for him. He's fast and his one turn races were pretty brilliant. Two turn, he still won going two turn at Oaklawn, but that was only his third out. But his second out, he won going here a mile and he looked, he really. I mean, nothing gets close to him, So I'm just hoping I need a performance like that to pull this off.
Good. Well, we'll be rooting for you. And I can't thank you enough for coming on here and giving us some insight into Charlotte and tomorrow in the Sortie race. And best of luck to you, Bob.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, man. Thank you.
Thanks to Gary Contessa for reaching out and pulling in Bob Baffert and Brad Cox. Thanks to both of those trainers as well. Two of the solid contenders in the Saudi Cup, again, coming up at about 12:40. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by our friend Dick Powell, get some of his thoughts on the Saudi Cup. As I said earlier, he was kind of instrumental in the formation of the Saudi Cup. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well, and maybe get some of Dick's thoughts on the three-year-old side of things, see what he thought a little bit about Mandaloon last week and more. That's coming up in a few, but before that, we'll take a little break. We'll come back, hit on some news and some notes in the next segment, so stay tuned. Racing Across America continues. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB. Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning, Saudi Cup morning. As I said at the top of the show, it's not just Racing Across America this morning, it's racing around the globe as we have Saudi Cup action. As noted a few minutes ago, though, that fifth race on the card today, we don't have wagering available here in America. It's not just us. There's no wagering on this fifth race. So things will kick back in on the Saudi Cup card with the Saudi Derby at 11:10. And that Saudi Derby does have an American interest in there. Cowan for Steve Asmussen will be going in the Saudi Derby off a win most recently, a second place most recently down at Oaklawn. But this afternoon we'll be running for the $1.5 million in the Saudi Derby. Always fun to root for the American horses when the various entities have these big days around the globe, and so we'll be rooting for Cowan a little bit later on. Nick's Go, Charlatan, Tacitus, Sleepy Eyes Todd, Max Player, all facing off in the Saudi Cup. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up in a few. But some news and notes from the past week or so. Javier Castellano, we mentioned it. Brian Netto mentioned it on the Handicappers Report that he was on board some horses today, and he mentioned that he was just coming back. If you weren't tuned in earlier this week, Javier Castellano had surgery in November, I believe, some surgery on his leg, and had been off since that November surgery. Came back on Wednesday. I believe he's had about five, pulled up Equibase earlier today. I think it was about five mounts so far, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So getting back into race shape. Obviously, he's been racing in the working in the morning, horses in the morning, but Javier Castellano, good guy, great rider. So rooting for him to get back into top form and start winning some races down there at Gulfstream. And we'll look forward to him returning to New York in the spring and summertime up here at Saratoga. And speaking of Saratoga and news that came out this week, Saratoga stakes schedule came out. You can go to the NYRA website and pull up the whole schedule if you're interested. But over the 40-day Saratoga meet this summer, 20 grade ones. You're going to love that. But a couple of those are in a little bit of a switch-up. The $1 million grade one Jockey Club Gold Cup and the grade one $600,000 Flower Bowl will both be run at Saratoga this year. They were run typically the fall meet at Belmont. But Jockey Club Gold Cup, probably the more notable of the two, coming up to Saratoga, and subsequently the Woodward moves back down to Belmont. So a little bit of a switch up with a couple of stakes races on the New York schedule, with a couple of them moving to Saratoga. The 40-day meet featuring 76 stakes in total. As I say, 20 of those grade ones. They're worth $21.5 million. The meet this year goes from Thursday, July 15th until Monday, September 6th, Labor Day. And in the press release they sent out, they mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, Governor Cuomo had announced that live sports and entertainment venues with a minimum reserved seating capacity of 10,000 would be permitted to reopen with a limited number of spectators. And when that announcement came out, there was speculation that Saratoga would obviously be in the mix there. So NYRA is, you know, continuing to monitor the situation and making plans to figure out a way to meet the protocols and regulations that may be in place by the time July 15th rolls around. The way things are, you don't know how much could change between now and then, but it looks like in some capacity we can expect fans up at Saratoga this summer. Hopefully things change more as opposed to less and we're closer to full capacity, but it's hard to know exactly how all of that's going to shake out. But it does seem like at this point at least some kind of fan attendance. Travers run on August 28th, the Whitney run on August 7th. So pretty much the schedule back to a more traditional layout as compared to last year where things were juggled up a little bit. And beginning in 2021, this has been the case already with some stakes races, but Lasix is prohibited within 48 hours of all stakes races now conducted at NYRA Track. So that will certainly have a little bit of an effect on Saratoga as well. Swiss Skydiver, we can look forward to her within the next month or so. Swiss Skydiver yesterday down at Gulfstream, a quick half mile in 46.80 for Ken McPeak. McPeak subsequently said that Swiss Skydiver would likely make her four-year-old debut in either the Beholder out at Santa Anita or the Azari at Oaklawn. They're both set for March 13th. So looking forward to her. She was just a spectacular three-year-old filly last year. Wound up to be the three-year-old filly champion. She's had three works so far after having spent a little break up at Ken McPeak's Ocala Farm. But looking forward to her off what looked, on paper at least, I didn't see the work, but at 46.8, seems like probably a pretty good snappy drill yesterday as she prepares for that 40-year-old debut. Looking forward to her return, and it looks like one race or the other, we can look for March 13th to be the return of Swiss Skydiver. Last weekend, it was Kentucky Derby Future Pool 3. That closed on Sunday at 6 o'clock. And just to give you kind of a little look at where the odds closed, I talked last Sunday when I was in here about maybe taking a little pop with some runners, and I kind of liked All Others when I looked at it at the end of Sunday. I did take some All Others when I was talking last Sunday afternoon. All Others was sitting at 4-1, which I thought for, you know, a February pool, I can get a few runners into the gate at 4-1. I thought that was okay. Subsequently, and it was close enough to 6 o'clock. I mean, there was maybe an hour left. I thought I'd probably be getting the 4-1 or close, but it went down a tick to 3-1. At 3-1, I'm not as excited, but I still got a little All Others last week. One that I took a little pop with, and I'm kind of shocked, the price on Nova Rags, 91-1 when the pool closed on Sunday. And it had been sitting at crazy odds all weekend long, given the fact that Nova Rags is 2 wins and 4 starts and a second-place finish. One of the wins was the Pasco at Tampa, and the second-place finish was the Sam Davis behind Barnmate, Bill Mott's other runner, Candyman Rocket, which I thought was a pretty good second in the Sam Davis, in the first try around two turns. And we saw what the first try around two turns meant to Mandaloon in the LeCompte, and then improved next time out in the Risen Star. You know, I'm not saying if I put a top 10 list together, I'd have Nova Rags at the top, but I'm saying, you know what, given the four-race career and what we've seen so far, 91-1 seemed like a pretty good price. So I took a little pop there. The favorites, when things were all said and done, obviously all others at 3-1 took the favoritism. The shortest price among the single entrants was Life is Good at 7-1. Essential Quality was 8-1. Greatest Honor was 9-1. Mandaloon, 16-1. That was kind of borderline. I almost felt like, I want to. But I just feel in these pools, you got to look for 25 or 30-1, really. Because, again, you're not just looking to win the Kentucky Derby. You're looking to make it to the starting gate 2 or 3 months down the road. So, again, 25, 30-1. That's kind of becomes a little more interesting. Now, I did use some of the shorter prices. I did a kind of a I used six or seven horses for a buck in an exacta box because I had Nova Rags in the mix at 91-1, and I had a couple other prices, and I used some of the logicals in the exacta play, but to just play the win bet, you know, Life is Good at 7-1. Prevalence is interesting at 14-1. Looked really good. Interesting in that, not interesting as a play at 14-1, interesting that the betting public popped on board at 14-1, because this is a horse I have no argument. I was in here for the handicapping show when Prevalence won the career debut, and it was one of those performances where immediately afterwards you kind of felt like, oh, this horse has Derby potential off of that maiden breaker early in the year. But with only that one race under the belt, 14-1 seems a little ambitious. And that one I definitely wouldn't have been intrigued about. 25-1 on risk-taking from Chad Brown off the Withers win. That's right at the cutoff that I think could be a little bit interesting. There was the other Chad horse, Highly Motivated, who hasn't been seen since winning the Nyquist at Keeneland last November. But you got 37-1 there. So there were some opportunities to have a little fun and get a price. You like Bob Baffert, three-year-olds, Freedom Fighter at 52-1 offered some potential there. Candyman Rocket off of the win in the Sam Davis at 35-1 was good value. So I think as the pool closed, I usually jump in and do what I did this past week, a little exacta box, a couple of individual plays, and maybe some all others, and you can wind up getting into the starting gate with a little pool of horses that then gives you a little backup that allows you to play around on Derby Day. So, again, pools will be coming up again shortly. So keep that in mind going forward to kind of, you know, you sit out until you get to later on Sunday afternoon and get a feel for where these horses are going to shake out. And you can usually, as I say, pick your spots and have maybe a little fun. All right, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, our friend Dick Powell will join us. Again, we'll talk some Saudi Cup with Dick, maybe get some of his thoughts on the Derby Trail and the three-year-olds. All of that when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit ARCI.com.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Dick Powell to talk a little Saudi Cup and more. Dick, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Raining in Saudi Arabia.
Hey. As I say, Racing Across America, racing across the globe on this Saturday morning. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you talk a little Saudi Cup, because I know it had to be about summer 2019. I ran into you up at Saratoga during the meet when there were actual fans there. And we had a conversation about the Saudi Cup and your involvement in kind of the formation of it. Give people a little of the background and how the Saudi Cup all came together and what part you played.
I don't play any part anymore. I went over a couple of years ago when it was in the planning stage, and it looked like it was going to happen that year. It did not, but we had gone over purses and purse structure. And originally, we were proposing 1.25 miles, because you can run 1.25 miles at that racetrack around one turn, long back stretch, you know, don't have to worry about post position, stuff like that. So we had done a lot of the preliminary planning. It kind of put on the back burner, then suddenly it was back on again. So the last two runnings, well, the last running, today is the second running. So I'm not involved like I had been in the beginning. They went with the British company, which is fine. You need people on the ground taking care of a lot of things. But it was fun. I spent 8 days there. I toured the racetrack that you're seeing today on TV, every imaginable nook and cranny of that of that track, King Abdulaziz, which is a Group 1 caliber track. The main track is excellent. They put in the turf courts, which is five, and that's very impressive.
Let's talk a little bit and get some thoughts on the Saudi Cup itself, this afternoon's Saudi Cup. While we talk, we have a replay of the stretch runs from the Pegasus, and we'll see Nick's Go, the Malibu, and we'll see Charlatan. They're certainly the headliners, and they're what's going to attract the eyeballs, and everybody's waiting for the showdown. Talk a little bit about the race, and do you think the race is going through those two?
They're next with a quarter of a mile left to go.
To maybe pay attention to a little bit. And how about Mishreef, the European horse from John Gosden, that is maybe getting a little bit of buzz as well?
Well, I think what's happening is it's obviously a two-horse race, so then everyone's kind of searching around for that third horse or someone that might break up the exacta and provide some price. So, Charlatan, yes, looked great winning the Malibu. There's nothing not to like about him. Nick's Go, last four races have been spectacular. Joel Rosario's over there. He's probably going to go to the lead. I think Charlatan's going to stalk him. I don't know how fast the pace will be, because these are world-class jockeys. They're not going to go 44-108 and destroy themselves in a $20 million race. So I would think they just make the lead and then dominate from there. I don't really see a suicidal pace as many others do. If I was going to pick a third horse that might have a chance of getting into it, I'm going to go with Bangkok, number two. Draws inside, Ryan Moore. His all-weather racing lately has been pretty good. And why not?
I mentioned Mishreef, and that was kind of interesting because he comes in from Europe for John Gosden. The last race, the Champion Stakes at Ascot, wasn't much. But this one's kind of notable because most of the career is on the grass, but does have a second-place finish in the Saudi Derby last year. So it does have some dirt experience. Yeah. Not only dirt experience, but over the track.
Yeah, he finished full of run going a mile last year in his first dirt race. David Egan is back to ride. Nothing not to like about him other than he might be the third choice in the betting, and I'd rather go with the horses, 31 morning line. Also, the one Japanese horse, number 4, Chua Wizard, is very good, finishes his races tremendously. I don't know what this rain is going to do. Now, I heard one of the commentators saying they don't put water down in the racetrack. I was there in July when they weren't racing, and they were putting water down in the racetrack. So that track gets lots of water. Now we get Mother Nature cooperating. So I think the track's going to be fine. I would think it'd be a little quick, but I just don't see the suicidal pace. I can't imagine either jockey's going to compromise their chances of running first or second in a $20 million race. They'll just dominate the front end, and maybe a Chua Wizard can rally, maybe a Bangkok can rally. But the two Americans, as they should be. It's a mile-made dirt race. You know, that's what we're supposed to dominate.
So which way are you going? Because I find it intriguing. Knicks go off of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, the Pegasus. But, in this day and age, that's maybe a little quick turnaround from the Pegasus and then a trip across the world. But Charlatan is moving in against Older for the first time. So they both have plenty of pluses, but maybe a couple of question marks.
There's no doubt. I would give a little bit of an edge to Charlatan only because he can start from the outside. He doesn't have to, like Joel pretty much has to maintain his position where Mike can sit outside of him, stalk him, do what he wants, just kind of keep him off the rail, get him to relax, things like that. I think Charlatan will finish the race real good. Knicks go, his last four races were spectacular, and if he runs anything near them, he will be very hard to catch. I love Joel. I think Joel's riding better than anyone in America these days. And so he will be tough to catch. But I will go Charlatan, then I'll play Bangkok in between them. 3-2, 8-8, 8-2, 3. Try to get Bangkok in the second, and some tries in exactus. Not the greatest betting race, but it'll be, just fun to watch.
Yeah, I think with those two in there, it's definitely going to be fun to watch. And that goes off at 12:40 this afternoon. Dick, when I got in touch with you, I said I'd also like to get some of your thoughts on the three-year-old scene. And one of the reasons was I wanted to go back to last week because I know going to years past, you concentrated on fairgrounds a lot. And I was curious your thoughts on last week's action with Mandaloon. I went to the LeCompte and handicapping the race last week on our stakes preview, I pulled up the chart from Tis the Law and the Kentucky Jockey Club, and I said, third career start, ran third, first time around two turns, and then came back in the four-year-old debut and won. I know the timing was a little bit different as far as two-year-old and three-year-old season, but Mandaloon, same number of starts, third place finish in the LeCompte. I said, you know what, first time around two turns, I won't be surprised if he improves off of that. So I was impressed with the performance by Mandaloon last week. Nice 98 buyer figure. What were your thoughts coming out of the Risen Star?
Yeah, and he was wide both turns, so the race was probably better than it looked. He has pedigree on the bottom side, being out of an Empire Maker, Mary's buying to Mischief. There's a lot of developing horses besides the Baffert contingent. The Arkansas thing is really crazy because not only is the stake race has been delayed, but horses aren't even getting onto the track. They're just hand walking. I mean, their training has been really interrupted. Now, that said, that's not the worst thing in the world if you have the right horse. So, missing a week or something like that could turn out to be a blessing. Problem is, as handicappers, how are we supposed to know? So it's going to make it very tough to follow the Arkansas horses. It'll be interesting when they do get back racing what kind of form is going to be there, not just for the three-year-olds, but for any of the horses, because they have all been stuck. I mean, it's been bad down there, and it's just a complete interruption of racing and training. So that'll be interesting because Arkansas always has good horses, not just their own horses, but horses that ship in for those big three-year-old races.
We were talking about that earlier on the handicapper support with Brian Addo, who's down at the fairgrounds, and I asked if he had a chance to catch up with Brad Cox and his thoughts on Essential Quality, who was aimed at the stake last week at Oaklawn. I talked to him last week on the show when the race was going to be rescheduled for today, and he said, yeah, you know, they called it off early enough that we stayed home. We worked this morning, meaning last Saturday. But subsequently, they moved now the stake to next weekend. So Essential Quality, and Brian made the point that, you know, since the horse hadn't left Fairgrounds, he said just what you said. If you're stuck at Oaklawn, you're not even training. But at least Brad's been able to train Essential Quality. But it's still, boy, that it's so important to meet your marks on the calendar on the Derby trail. I'm going to be interested to see Essential Quality now and what happens, his seasonal debut and going forward.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Godolphin, that's the one empty spot in Sheikh Mohammed's trophy case. They're having a big day in Saudi Arabia today, 2-1 already. And they look well, you know, between Essential Quality and Prevalence. That they got some really, really nice three-year-olds that are, you know, coming into the race ride. They changed their plans years ago. They don't take the horses to Dubai. They leave them with American trainers, so there hasn't been that interruption. So maybe this is the year. Maybe it's Bob Baffert again. Maybe it's Bill Maher. It's just this. What's happened lately, Seth, is everything comes at the last two prep races. You know, the early prep races, you know, the 10-point races, they just don't seem to be that significant. It's the next prep and the final prep that everything gets taken care of, and that's what you really have to analyze. Hopefully there'll be, you know, fast tracks and similar conditions to what they're going to see first Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, you can extend it even further. I mean, when I first got into the game, you could go back and go on the two-year-old form, and that's kind of gone out the window. I mean, I go back to, you know, Aladar and Affirm. You kind of knew you had, oh, a couple of good three-year-olds going forward based on that two-year-old season. But as you say, now it's even later in the three-year-old season when we're really kind of making up our mind. Curious what your thoughts on Greatest Honor, the Shug horse, coming out of the win in the Holy Bull last time. I mean, he certainly has looked good as well. As you said, Mott with Candyman Rocket, and I thought Nova Rags was maybe a little bit interesting as well, and of course Bob Baffert always, but Chunk has a live runner with Greatest Honor.
Yeah, he finishes real well. He's by Tappet. He's improving. He'll have no trouble with the added distance. I know the time in the Holy Bull was fast. I just don't know who he beat that day.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how strong that race was. Nova Rags, locally owned by Mike Shanley. That'd be nice for Mike, who's been in the game a long time. You know, not only having a horse who was second last time out, but a real contender, which it looks like. And, you know, Mata's Candyman Rocket, who looked good at Tampa Bay. And just a lot of intriguing type horses, but a lot of horses that still have to step forward, that still have to take that next step and, you know, improve 5 lengths off their two-year-old form and early three-year-old form. But I tell you, they're all in good hands, though. You're seeing all the big trainers besides Baffert, you know, Shug and Greg Cox and people like that. They're in the hands of the top trainers.
Yeah, Chad with Risk.
And Brendan Walsh. It'd be great to see Brendan Walsh with Prevalence after what happened with Maxfield to, you know, get there and without anything going wrong.
Yeah, what did you think of that performance last week?
Wow, it was just tremendous. And he's bred to go a lot farther than 7 furlongs. So I don't know if Brendan's going to push him. You know, there's a point, you know, now, once again, we got to rethink things. You know, it used to be you had the races too. Now you can break your maiden like Justify in February. So Prevalence normally would be too late for the party. Now January 23rd, he broke his maiden. Now that's plenty of time. So he'll be tough, but they all got to improve, and we'll see which ones do. But it's interesting this year because you don't have that one horse at the top of the heap that you know, you knock off. There's probably 10 horses that really have legitimate shots.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting, unless Essential Quality runs away next weekend. Then he becomes, I think, that one horse everybody keys on.
Yeah, most likely, except, you know, whatever Baffert's going to do with his two, at least two, you know, that'll determine a lot. And then Bob has to map out who goes to Aqueduct, who goes to Arkansas, who stays home at Santa Anita, and stuff like that. So I would split them all up and then go from there.
I laughed when you said at least two, because typically he comes with a holster full of them. But speaking of that, how about Bezos a couple weeks ago? Yikes. I mean, if there's one that did not live up to the whispers.
It's fun to watch. I haven't gotten into it like I normally would this time of year, because I know I don't want to fall in love with a horse in February.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I'm kind of like, okay, that's a nice horse, okay, and then we'll see how they go, and you know, give them time, and I'll wait till that last week of April before I fall in love with the horse.
Yeah, I typically do that with one or two of the Asmussen horses that then just don't live up to the remainder of the Derby trail. So I have no argument there. Dick, as always, appreciate the comments and thoughts on the Saudi Cup. Again, that's coming up at about 12:40, so we'll be looking forward to that one and the square off between Nixco and Charlatan and some of the others. But appreciate your thoughts on that, and we'll talk again.
Okay, Seth. Take care. Thanks.
Dick Powell, again, Saudi Cup coming up in a little under 2 hours at 12:40. The sixth race, the Saudi Derby, is 10 minutes away. And don't forget, we do have an American entrant in there in Cowan. And I'm just looking. Cowan is second choice at 5-2. The favorite is the Godolphin runner, Soft Whisper. Mike Smith on board that one. The 13 horse is even money right now. And again, as Dick said, Godolphin's having a pretty good day so far. We'll see if they can continue it with the favorite in the Saudi Derby. Soft Whisper, 4 wins in 6 starts, couple seconds. 4 wins, 2 seconds. Hasn't missed an exacta in 6 starts so far. Last couple have been over in Maidan and Dubai, but now comes over. And the last one was the UAE 1,000 Guineas, but now comes over to shoot for the $1.5 million in the Saudi Derby. And again, that race coming up in about 9 minutes. So 3 more races on the Saudi Cup card, highlighted by the Saudi Cup itself at 12:40. Looking forward to that. You can see it here. See it and bet it at CapitalOTBBet.com. All right. We will wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Let me remind you once again our promos. If I can reach over and grab my promo sheet. I actually don't need the sheet. I think I have the promos memorized. There's only a couple. Today it's the Players Bankroll. Swing on down to the Racebook today and put your name in the hat between 11 and 1. At 1 o'clock, we'll select a team of 10 players. They will each get $25 to play on a designated race. All the winnings go into the pool, and that gets split up by the bankroll team at the end of the afternoon. So it was a lot of fun a couple of weeks ago. I think it's going to be a lot of fun again today. You can come down and participate this afternoon. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Same spot for tomorrow's double promotion, $100 win a bet and a match bet. All taking place tomorrow at the Clubhouse Racebook. Again, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Always want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Again, we appreciate their support. And I will wrap it up. I'll be back in probably about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. Kind of a fun day yesterday, at least at Aqueduct, 6-8 on top at Aqueduct yesterday, treaded water a little bit at Tampa. Picks for Gulfstream were pretty good, though, as well. So we'll see if we can keep it going on this Saturday afternoon. If you tune in, as I say, about an hour and a half or so, you can watch and wager along. Look forward to that. Appreciate your tuning in this morning. Again, Saudi Cup continues right now with, again, that sixth race now being 7 minutes away. So 6, 7, and 8 coming up. That'll lead us into the afternoon of action. I'll be taking a look at some Aqueduct, some Tampa, a little Gulfstream, but we'll have fairgrounds in the mix as well, and much, much more on a Saturday afternoon here on OTB-TV. So wrapping it up for this morning's edition of Racing Across America. Stay tuned. We'll see you in about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live.
You're watching OTB-TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.